And PsychoStick will be at the Revolution Bar in Amityville. The Defibrillators will be at the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn. Molly Malone's in Bayshore welcomes Tommy Mulvihill at 6. Your billboard for Thursday, August 29th. Synchro Sync will be at Barbecue and Patchogue, 8 p.m. The Beatles' Magical Orchestra will be at Harbourfront Park in Port Jefferson on the ferry dock. The Irish Sessions will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport. Southside Johnny and the Poor Fools will be at the Stephen Talk House in Amagansett.
From Manhattan to Montauk, Bridgeport to Amagansett, if your favorite band is there, you'll find it here on the Concert Billboard on WUSB Stony Brook.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 1 minute after 6 o'clock, time once again for Off the Wall.
Thank you. Well, I've never heard you...
Hang on, the thing doesn't even work.
You're a really good singer, though. I mean, yeah, but I did, I've never I was heard doing you open the show all in operatic that, notes like
I,
that.
Well, I won't ever do it again, but I didn't know the microphone wasn't working. I was just going on. It was
Wait,
like, you know...
Well, I would have told you, but
why
I don't
would,
have headphones
Why didn't
this
you
week.
Tell me? But you can still talk. You have a voice. I can hear you in the studio, even if the people can't.
Well, I
that was poetry,
levels,
people.
I think
that
the levels were the theme. I didn't realize the levels were not you. I thought I don't know. I saw the levels moving.
You know, I've been off the air now for over a month, and I'm just starting to think maybe I just don't have what it takes anymore. Maybe that ship has sailed off into the distance, and it's time for me to start pursuing something else. You know, because all this is new to me now. It's been so long. It's been over 4 weeks since I've sat in this chair behind this. I don't even know the word microphone. Yeah, it's a word I just used and I forgot it. You know, so these things can happen.
Are we coming across in stereo?
I don't even know.
Didn't we used to have that problem? I remember back when we used to do radio that we used to come
meaning
across.
That we're not doing radio now. Back in the days when we used to do radio, you
yeah,
realize
back,
what you're saying?
Back when we used to do radio.
So this is just.
I don't know what this is.
This is just horseplay. This is nothing. What you're listening to on that contraption of yours, folks, is just something that should never have made it out into the ether.
Do people with mono radios care if it's in stereo? I mean, does it sound worse if you have a mono radio?
Yeah, I always used to wonder things like that. Because I used to have a mono radio, and everyone was talking about stereo, and I didn't know what it meant, and it seemed like I was missing out on something.
Most clock radios are mono, I think.
I think so, too. And they're also 12-hour times, which I don't like.
They should have a clock radio enthusiast society or something.
I'm sure they do. You want me to look it up for you? I will.
Okay.
I will do that. Well, good evening, folks. We're back. We're back on the air. That's Kyle over there.
It would appear we are.
And Emmanuel over here.
Hi.
And we're back from overseas where we were traveling for the last 4 weeks. However, you did not go with us. You stayed here. Well, actually, no, you went over to, what did we do? We went to Newskeet.
Yes.
And, well, actually, I took a train ride out to Washington. We walked around Georgetown for another week. And then we spent 2 weeks visiting the monks of Newskeet up in upstate New York. And that's what aired. That was your summer, folks. That was what we gave you for the last 4 weeks. And meanwhile, we were out on the Riviera having the time of our life. No, actually, we were just... basically going from country to country. We went to 10 countries.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes, but Kyle, what's even more awesome is that you're going to name them right now.
Okay.
In alpha... No, okay. I'm not going to be a dick about it. Basically, whatever order you feel like, but maybe... What?
Chronological, like order of events?
That might be easier for you.
I'll say I feel a bit naked being on the air since now people know more since they've heard all these other shows.
Well, you did give quite a soliloquy on growing up with dogs and raising dogs, and a number of people wrote
say,
in and commented.
We did get a couple letters, and I was really touched and really really enthused and inspired that people got something out of those stories that I was telling and the travels, like your cross-country thing, and then some of our kind of retreat, our like early spring retreat or late winter mm-hmm. retreat, which was really interesting. So thank you for writing in, and please, people, write in again. It's otw@2600.com.
And also, a bit of exciting news. We have a new website now, a website that actually has more than a floppy disk running for storage. We have actually a lot of storage now, and that means that all of these programs, every single edition of Off the Wall, which were all online anyway, they are now online in high fidelity, meaning that whereas they were at 16K before, just imagine that number, 16, now they're at 128 in addition to 16. So if you have no bandwidth at all, you can still grab the 16K version. But if you want to hear it in full fidelity, like it aired over the radio, you can go all the way back to 2003 when the show began and hear every single one of them.
It's interesting to note that 128K, actually, dogs can hear those frequencies, too. So dogs are now part of the audience.
Dogs can hear 16K as well.
No, it's part of the resolution. You see, 128K encompasses all the frequencies. It's the granularity is better, and so dogs can actually listen now. And we actually got a couple letters from dogs about
the
news.
But dogs can listen to the 16K version as well. They can hear that. I know we've gotten. I know the dogs listen to 16K.
You know, I'll check my fact. I'll check on that, and I'll clarify next week.
You might
I'm going to list these countries now.
Thinking of cat, we have no cat listeners. Apparently, isn't that something? That's a slap in the face, especially considering that we do programs designed for cats sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, okay. So you were going to name 10 countries, and you seem to be kind of trying to back out of that.
Oh, me back out of that.
Let's get on with it then. Because
Holland, Germany, Luxembourg.
Whoa. Let me count. Go ahead. Holland. Go ahead.
Germany.
Luxembourg.
Italy.
You're not going in order. Okay. Because we went to Luxembourg before we went to Germany.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Holland, Luxembourg, Germany, Italy.
Okay.
France.
Okay.
France.
Yeah.
Hold on. Where else did we go? Oh.
this
the
is
United Kingdom.
Really stimulate. Okay, United Kingdom.
Northern Ireland.
Well, Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
United Kingdom.
I think. I got a lecture on this from our friend over in Northern Ireland. I'm pretty sure they're part of the United Kingdom and not part of Great Britain. I should have written this down. It's very complicated, but I do know that Northern Ireland is not considered a separate country from whatever you call England, Wales, and Scotland.
Holland, Luxembourg, Germany, Italy, France, UK, Ireland.
It's only 7, Kyle. You got 3 to go. How did that happen?
The U.S.
No, I wasn't counting the U.S. You somehow erase 3 countries.
Well, we went through Austria.
Okay, yeah. No, that counts. That counts because we did go through Austria, so that counts as a country.
What's the 10th?
Well, that's only 8. Hold on. Start again and do it slowly.
Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Holland.
Yeah.
Luxembourg.
Oh, I remember.
Germany.
you left out a country. You left out a country between Holland and Luxembourg.
Holland, Brussels, Luxembourg.
Brussels
Germany,
is not a country.
Holland, Belgium,
thank
Luxembourg,
you.
Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Italy.
All right.
UK.
Well, you sort of skipped over France, but that's
France,
all right. They're
UK.
Used to
it. Oh, man. All right. Holland, Luxembourg. Holland, Brussels, Luxembourg.
I can't keep counting.
Italy.
You keep restarting.
France. Oh. UK. Ireland.
How many is that? You know, I can't count because you keep restarting.
That's 9.
Okay. So you left out one, and you don't know which one it is, right?
I gotta take my glasses off.
Uh-huh.
Holland.
Yeah.
Belgium.
Yeah.
Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Germany.
Uh-huh.
Austria's in there.
Right, Austria.
Italy. France. UK.
United Kingdom.
Ireland.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. All right?
Spain.
Argentina.
That's wrong.
That's the hint. It's not the answer. It's the hint.
Portugal.
How is Portugal related to Argentina?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
Catalonia?
No. Okay, listen. Something having to do with Argentina is in the country that you left out.
Spain?
Again, I don't know what that means. Well, you have to have an answer. What is it that is related to the country that you name? Yeah. Okay.
Argentina?
Something related to Argentina is in the country that you left out.
Okay, but this is not a country that we actually stopped
in. It was a country that we actually stopped in. I'm sorry, folks. With so many stories we could be telling right now, but instead we're trying to guess a country.
Wait, what? That's not a hint.
Okay, you want another hint?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Argentina. I have to think of a hint now.
Oh, my gosh, Vatican City.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got it before I had to think of another hint. Yes, Vatican City. And, of course, Argentina being the Pope is from Argentina.
Okay.
So that's 10
okay.
countries, folks.
From the top.
Sorry, I should. No, not again. Not again. Good
In
Lord.
Order.
All right, so we're back from that, from 10 countries. And
Holland.
No. Stop. I'll destroy your
Luxembourg.
Microphone. All right, that's it. You turn them down. When he finishes, we'll bring him back up. But it was fun. It was amazing. It was awesome. And we made lots of sound recordings that we'll broadcast when we go somewhere else.
UK.
And we'll... why do I still hear him?
United States.
And we were never counting the United States.
Vatican City.
There are more countries we could have gone to, and there are more countries we want to go to. But we were doing all kinds of amazing and fun things, many of which we documented. It all started, of course, at the Ohm conference, the hacker camp in Holland. And we had a great time in Ireland. That's where we finished things off. And I'm longing to go back there again, only because it was so much fun. And we met interesting people everywhere we went, whether they were complete strangers or listeners to the show. We hung out with a listener in Belfast, which was really an amazing time. It's so cool to know that those of you out there are willing to show us your places, the places you live in, the interesting cultures that you come from, and educate us on that. Yeah, I'd never been to Northern Ireland before, and I really wish I'd spent more time there, and I want to go back and learn more and participate more. And we did some recordings there as well, so I think you'll find those really interesting as well.
It's good to clear up stereotypes. When you think of a place, when you have perceptions of a place, it's really good to go check it out, see for yourself, talk to the people. And I'll say, I mean, there's some parts of Belfast, Northern Ireland, that you get the stress, you get the agony, you get some of the... But there's also really interesting part, youthful parts. The we were in like a university kind of district, a neighborhood. Yes. in Belfast, and a beautiful college up there. And we went up above the city and looked down and looked at the entire area, the whole layout of the city. We only saw just a fraction, sort of the residential areas on the west and the east sides, I think.
Yeah.
Check those out. Get past what you've learned maybe when you were little or on the news, you know, those kinds of things. I had these really dark pictures of Belfast from like old media, you know, like CNN, like 20 years ago when I was little. And mm-hmm. It's much different when you actually meet some people there, get the scoop, find out how they've changed and what's going on now, and just the average kind of stuff. But I will say, I mean, there are other parts of Ireland that I'd contrast say were a bit happier.
Yes, it felt happier in the south, where they don't have what's known as the Troubles. And even though things are much better now than they were 20 years ago or in the 70s, there's still a ways to go. There's still a ways to go. People should not have to think the way that they think now, where there's a particular neighborhood that you can't really walk in because you're Catholic and they're Protestant or vice versa. And it's not really about religion either, because, you know, I had this great conversation with a guy in a bar the west coast of Ireland, and he was telling me that no, it's not about religion. They never talk about religion. It's about basically people that consider Northern Ireland to be part of the UK or England or Great Britain or whatever. I'm not exactly sure what they consider to be part of, and then people who consider it to be Ireland, to be Irish, and if you live there.
Another distinction there is the difference between unions and then the. Mm-hmm. The allegiance to the UK and recognition of like the Union Jack and that long history of England
right.
and their sort of colonization and stuff.
And if it wasn't religion, it would be something else that people would find to disagree on. And this is true not just there; it's true everywhere. You see it manifest itself in different ways, and only by confronting it directly can you work it out. And I think this is something that was driven home to us that. They basically decided at one point that they had to talk to the other side. And by doing that, that is how they were able to make giant strides in making the place a whole lot better than it was. Still a ways to go, but that's not a reason to feel bad or to give up or throw up your hands and walk away. It just means that it's not easy, and it's something that we can certainly learn from. We can certainly learn when we deal with conflicts of any sort, whether they're personal or of an international scale, you always have to talk to the other side. And that's something that this country in particular does not do. We don't do that. We don't talk to the other side. We make proclamations and demands, and we cover our ears. And
find comfort in divisiveness. It was encouraging, actually, to hear people in Northern Ireland basically say, we're never going to go back to this.
Right, right.
It's not going to be that way. There's upstart, there's little things, you know, silly kind of influential people that maybe manipulate and try to make things back the way they were, violent and whatnot, but they don't ever want to go back to that. And I think... that there have been some defining events in the last couple decades, basically, that we won't go back to certain things. But, you know, we could do more to unite and to be global in our attitudes and stuff.
Right. And there is no country or no part of the world anywhere that can say that they're above all of this, because you can find conflicts, you can find injustice anywhere, and you certainly find it here in so many ways in our history, in our present, and certainly in our future. Speaking of which, you know, a new war. What do you think? Another war coming, Kyle?
Oh, come on. This has been in the cards. This has been in the works, coming down the pipe, in the hopper, queued up.
Do you see this headline here on the webpage I got pulled up? Military strikes on Syria as early as Thursday, U.S. officials say. The day after tomorrow, we're going to go to war again.
You know, I had them penciled in for Wednesday night. But maybe as early as, like, Thursday 1 a.m., I'm thinking.
Your flippant attitude conveys what the problem is.
You know, actually, Thursday does look good.
Don't care anymore how we look to the rest of the world, and the fact that we somehow are the ones always putting ourselves out there as the cops of the world and basically just making asses of ourselves.
Well, and I love how the media is basically like, yeah, U.S. is in a really tough spot. We're in a tough, tough position. Oh, golly, it's real tough being the U.S.
Yeah, it is. And
boy, we're going to have to go and bomb some people, and, oh, gosh, it's such a hard thing for Obama. He's probably got, you know, melanta and indigestion going on. He's just all turned up and twisted up about it.
Let me read a little bit of this story, because I don't want to read the whole thing. It's too depressing. The U.S. could hit Syria with 3 days, they even know how long they're going to do it for, 3 days of missile strikes, perhaps beginning Thursday, in an attack meant more to send a message to Syrian President Assad than to topple him or cripple his military. So that's basically what you do these days when you bombard a country with missiles, is to send a message, not to actually cause any damage to the government or the regime or anything like that. You know, if someone sent missiles into Washington, D.C., I don't think they'd view it that way. No. We were just trying to send a message. We didn't want to cause any harm. We were just, you know, we're just expressing our opinion. How about that? So the next, like, crazy survivalist who does that, let's see how they're treated.
Yeah.
It's a good comparison, I think.
Yeah.
The State Department fed the growing drumbeat around the world for a military response to Syria's suspected use of chemical weapons against rebels on August 21st near Damascus, saying that while the U.S. intelligence community would release a formal assessment within the week, it was already crystal clear that Assad's government was responsible. See, now, I actually was talking to people in Ireland about this, and I was kind of heartened to find that everybody was suspicious of these reports. And the reason I think we were so suspicious is because we've been fed so many lies in the past. You know, the whole Iraq war was based on a lie. And we see all the lies that are being revealed now, and how people who reveal the lies are the ones who are punished and not the people who cause the actual damage. So it's quite likely that something like this, some very convenient incident, might not be something that really is framed in truth. It might be, but it might not be. And let's at least entertain that notion. Now, think back a few months ago when there was another chemical weapons incident that sort of evaporated. There was talk that that basically people in the government had used chemical weapons against civilians. And then all of a sudden it seemed like the rebels had been the ones doing it. And then the story just sort of went away. Do you remember that? I remember a lot of people don't seem to remember that happened, but
it's like they didn't get it right. It was like a little precursor, a little foreshadowing, but it didn't float. It wasn't quite spun in the right way. I agree. I don't really think Bashar al-Assad.
Oh, you say that beautifully.
Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah, yeah.
I also like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, but he's no longer the
leader.
He's
retired.
Yeah.
But
go back to, yeah.
Bashar al-Assad.
Uh-huh.
I don't really think he's particularly, like, I don't see him as, like, a big sweetheart, you know.
Yeah, but I don't see him as a raving idiot either, and you'd have to be that to do this at this particular point in time. It just makes things too easy.
Right, but see, his PR, it's just not as good as ours.
Well, that's true, because
so they have trouble, you know.
We only see, you know, our PR, and we don't really take theirs very seriously.
Well, there's that.
But he's not, yeah, you're right, he's not a sweetheart, he's not a very nice guy at all. But, you know, are these rebels, quote unquote rebels, the nicest people either? Remember, there's a video of a guy tearing the heart out of a soldier or an opponent and eating it. I mean, I don't think he's representing all the rebels or even most of them or even a few of them. But, you know, whose side do we take here? Or maybe we just sort of don't get involved every single time. Now, yeah, you could say that's really heartless, no pun intended, and horrible that we just let people die like this. But where is it written that we have to be involved in every single conflict? We have to take sides and we have to basically run every single country. I don't think that is the role. That's the role of United Nations and various united groups of countries. To do something to put pressure on.
Yes.
You know, as a global community, yeah. But you have to respect the global community. When the global community rules against you, you have to respect that. And we don't. We don't. Israel does not. So I don't know how seriously we can be taken in situations like this. You know, you have to respect when it doesn't go your way. And then when it does go your way, you become a lot more, I don't know, reputable as far as... your word meaning something.
I think I can empathize with the frustrations of a guy ripping another guy's heart out and taking a big chomp out of it. I mean, it's frustrating. We're not there. We're not experiencing the same things that that person is experiencing.
What would you have to experience to rip a heart out of someone's chest and take a bite out of it? What kind of experience exactly would lead you to do that?
I don't know. I've never been the victim of, like, atrocities or you know, civil war at all. But I'm, you know, and I'm being a bit facetious, okay? That, like, yeah, I empathize. Yeah, it's frustration. And, yeah, that's a dramatic example of you know, what war and fighting, civil war is all about. And, again, I think we talked about this a little bit to our friends in Belfast when we were discussing Syria, that basically, like, and I was, this was my point, basically, that the machinations, the people behind the administration, they are the true kind of masterminds and people that are guilty. I mean, it's not any one leader. You can't just fault, like, Assad. So, I don't think he's a sweetheart in general. But there are people around him that are as bad, if not worse, and a construction, like an infrastructure, an administration that is also probably not so great. And
look at the number of people who have been killed in Egypt by their military over the past couple of weeks. You know, just mowed down because they were demonstrating. But it's the Muslim Brotherhood demonstrating, and that scares us, so we're going to turn a blind eye to that. Oh, yeah, we'll condemn it, but we're not really going to get involved because, well, that's their problem. See, the thing is, it's basically hypocritical because half the time we ignore what's going on when there's injustice, other times we act with outrage, and I think we just should be consistent about it one way or another.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't buy our guns. They don't buy our weapons. And I think that's the other thing at play, like where the U.S. enters in these things, is it's the military-industrial complex, like the DOD, all these private companies, they say like, oh yeah, there are axes of evil club, you know. You know, yeah, they're fighting over there. Oh, that's a lick, man. You know, we could sell some. Oh, you know, I bet we got some fresh containers of some whatever. And yeah, let's sell them this. And let's arm these people. And you know what? We could go make some money, man.
Well, point is, here we go again. You know, first Afghanistan, then Iraq, now Syria. It seems like every single country we're going to be involved in one way or another. And it's just, you know... It really is troublesome because I see the bigger picture here of just a lot of our people going over, being hated by their people and having this whole conflict that just lasts forever. And we never seem to reach understanding and we never seem to actually do positive things that last for a long time.
And this is exactly my point with the disconnect between bureaucratic institutions and like, industry, transnational entities, conglomerates, private contractors, you name it, that is not the people. That is not the will of us, of the people, the everyday people. I mean, in part it is, and you go to military towns in this this country. You understand, you get that they are a part of that system and that's their bread and butter. It's a bit crazy, but they're kind of, you know, pumped up on the, you know, nationalistic thing as much as they would be anywhere else. And that's just a fact. Like, we have militaries in nation states and whatnot, but it's not the, well, in most places, it's not the preponderance. It's not the majority of the people. And really what we'd have to consider, I think, going forward, and just in general, we should think about how we interface with this institution. And I mean, it needs to be more like a mobilized thing where people are not just letting politicians do what they want. And it's like, it sounds old and silly, but it's like, yeah, you know, talk to your senators, deal in your, on your community level, you know, create love in your community and let that ripple, let that like move out in the world and think globally and act and do those things. And try to get control of that like headless beast that's just going to continue whether we are in control of it or not.
The other thing to consider here that we're not really taking very seriously is that Russia is dead set against any kind of action. And they're, you know, they're kind of powerful. They're kind of big. They're a country that even if we have major issues and problems, we do need to take seriously. We do need to talk with them. They have veto power on the Security Council, which makes it very hard for a UN resolution to be passed. We know all this, but that also means that you don't just throw up your hands and do it anyway. It means that you talk it through. And that's something that we learned in Northern Ireland, that is, it's hard, but it's what you got to do to get someplace. And the U.S. has to learn to do that. And we're also a bunch of hypocrites. You ever hear of Agent Orange? Yeah, that's what we used in Vietnam. That was chemical warfare that that killed 400,000 people. Yeah. Herbicide Orange and Agent LNX is basically what it's called. And it was part of its chemical warfare program known as Operation Ranch Hand. This is all true. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now. The Red Cross of Vietnam estimates up to 1 million people are disabled or have health problems due to Agent Orange. And the United States government has dismissed those figures as unreliable and unrealistically high. So you see that it's basically every country has dirty hands one way or another. We do not have the right to be all high and mighty about anything. And what makes chemical weapons so much worse than all the other ways that people are tortured, maimed, and killed? You know, it's okay if buildings are burned and missiles rain down on villages and innocent people. We're not going to do anything if that happens. But as soon as chemical weapons are introduced, well, that's the line that we cannot cross. It's all horrible. It's all something that we have to speak out against. And while we don't have to run in every time we perceive an injustice to be executed someplace, we're not the ones. We're not the cops to basically maintain law and order. We should be speaking out at every opportunity and exerting pressure in every way possible. That's really what our role as global citizens should be. But it only works if all of us take an interest. And that, unfortunately, has not been happening.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of cops in the U.S. Uh-huh. and chemical weapons, when we do speak out and get together, we all get gas with pepper spray.
That's right,
which is
yeah.
also a chemical weapon banned via the Geneva Convention for use in war, but used on our streets all the time.
Against our own people. Against our own people. So, yeah.
Check it out.
It happens. All right. Well, that's a little bit of fun to look forward to in the days ahead. So, more war. We never learned. Hey, okay. I want to change gears completely and ask for listener help. First of all, I'd like to take listener phone calls. If listeners are out there, please call 631-632-6901. If we see a bunch of calls, we'll actually go into delay and talk with some people. And it'd be nice to hear from people around the world, maybe some people that we met or maybe some people that we didn't have time to meet. It would be really cool to make more connections. And I hope that we see more of you in the future. It's good to know so many of you are out there and have so many stories to tell. But, okay, what I want to do is appeal to our listeners also to help me out personally, because there's this species of bird that I've been trying to identify, And I've tried everything I can to play this into various apps and things like that, and I just can't get an answer. So maybe somebody out there with knowledge can help me. Here, take a listen to this. Not that one. That one. He goes like 2.5 times. You hear that, Kyle? It's kind of mm-hmm. weird. I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. That's a blue jay. I know what that is. Yeah, I think he chased him away at that point. So if anybody recognizes that particular bird, I'd like to know what it is. I'm just curious. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Nothing.
Okay.
No.
Okay, good. We have some phone calls coming in, so I'm going to go into delay, which involves a few switches. Yes.
I'd just like to shout out the guys at Seaport.
Oh, our friends at Seaport Deli. You know, they asked if we'd give them a shout-out, and we did. And now we want to know that they heard it. So next time we walk in there or we meet one of them on the street or see something on the internet, we expect to hear that they listened to us.
Yeah, it was
somebody
good.
There listened
it was
to
good
us.
To be around and see people locally here in Long Island. And it's just so fun to travel around, but so comforting to be home and back in the area.
Okay, and now we are going to go into delay and hopefully get there safely and take some phone calls. 631-632-6901.
Don't touch that dial. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook.
And I do believe we've made it safely, which is always a good thing to do. We only have a few minutes. So we want to take those phone calls at 631-632-6901. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. When you're speaking with Marcel from the Netherlands.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I'm fine.
Yours was one of the countries that we visited.
Yes, indeed. Well, you called it Holland, but that's actually not a country.
I expected that to be brought up. Okay, why, for the sake of Americans everywhere, can you please explain the difference?
Well, Holland, it's actually the name of two provinces in the Netherlands. You have North and South Holland. So basically, if you call the Netherlands Holland, it would be like calling the United States Carolina.
We wouldn't want to do that, but why do people call it Holland then?
I think it's from way in the past where, of course, our government is seated in the province of Holland. So that's one explanation, I guess. And it's easier to pronounce than the Netherlands. So that's another reason.
And then you speak Dutch on top of all that.
Yes, we don't speak, we call it Nederlands, but yeah, in English it would be Dutch.
Uh-huh. Well, you can see why we're confused.
We like to confuse people. That's our role in life.
Well, mission accomplished. So, what's going on over there? Any thoughts or things that are happening?
There's not really much happening at the moment that I'm aware of. I did meet you for a few minutes at the just after Ohm.
Uh huh.
I didn't actually go to the camp because I didn't have time, but I was there for a bit to pick up a friend of mine.
Okay, yes, I think I remember.
Yeah. He's probably also trying to call in.
Yes, now I know who you are. Okay, yes, definitely. That's great. Now, what part of the country are you from?
I'm actually from the south. I'm from a province called Brabant, which is close to the Belgian border.
Okay, all right. And things are a bit more conservative down there, correct?
There are parts of this province that's very conservative, but there's also a lot of people who like to enjoy life,
mm-hmm.
as in drinking beer and partying a lot.
Uh-huh. Well, we hear occasionally that the marijuana laws or the tolerance of marijuana is being curtailed, and a lot of that is because of outlying provinces, particularly those down near Belgium, where people don't feel the same way, and that sort of seeps into other places like Amsterdam. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it's actually because we have had a lot of foreigners coming over here just for the drugs and causing a lot of trouble that they decided to have this weed pass. that, or at least limited to only Dutch buyers. I'm against it, but that's just me. I don't smoke myself, but I don't think that the wheat pass was a great idea, and it turned out that we were right.
Yeah, I hear that they're rethinking it now.
Yes, thankfully they are.
Cool. So do you do much traveling yourself?
Yes, and in a few weeks I'll be traveling to Berlin just for a small holiday, and I hope to go to the CCC conference in December.
Okay, yes, in Hamburg now.
It's Hamburg, yeah. I'd like to go there, and it's just a bit dependent on whether I can with work and stuff like that.
So what do you think? New war, huh?
Yeah.
What? You don't sound enthusiastic. Come on, we haven't had a war in, what's it been now? What, 5 years, 6 years? It's been a while. I mean, come on, the people here are bored.
There's still the war on terror that's still going on.
Yeah, the war on terror. It's just same old people. It's not bringing anything new to the game.
That's true. Yeah.
We need targets. We need new villages to bomb and drones. Oh my God, drones! They're going to be all over the place now. It's going to be Time's thing of the year.
It's a way to support the economy, I guess.
Yeah, you know what's ironic though about a lot of this is that if you really think about it and focus on some of the things that have happened. The Arab Spring began in Tunisia with revelation of documents that were printed on WikiLeaks and allegedly revealed by Bradley Manning, currently serving 35 years in prison. And now, as a result, one by one, countries in that region were toppled or threatened with revolution, Syria being one of them. So you could say that because of the WikiLeaks revelations, that's why the regime in Syria is now crumbling, and that's why the United States might even get involved militarily. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
That's indeed very crazy. Yeah, about Manning, it's really sad that the guys who committed the war crimes aren't punished, and the guy who exposed the war crimes did get punished. That's just...
It's ridiculous, and the fact is the people responsible for the video that hopefully we've all seen called Collateral Murder, if you have not seen it, look it up and watch it. That is what our military does and gets away with. Those people responsible for those deaths of journalists and civilians have not been punished. I don't even think they've been named. Have they? Do we have names of them? I don't think we do. And there is no excuse for that.
No, indeed.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to get so heavy, but any other thoughts?
I have no more thoughts. I'm all thought out.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you're listening and calling and that we got to meet, and hopefully we'll meet at CCC and other places. And will you be coming to Hope, I hope?
I hope so, too, yeah.
Okay. One thing that we do want to focus on, maybe you can help us with this, is the reluctance of people in European countries, especially in the hacker community, to come to the United States for hacker events or any events because they feel that they might be harassed. And the thing that bugs me is that people still come to this country, and they come as tourists, they come as business people. So there's no problem there. And the people who think about it too much and the people who are intelligent are the ones who stay away. And in a sense, that means that those people who don't want intelligent, authority questioning people around, they're winning without having to do anything just by making us think. The fact of the matter is most people will not have any issue, any problem whatsoever. And if you do have some kind of strange question asked, or if you get your picture taken or your fingerprint taken, you won't be alone. And certainly when you show up at a hacker conference, you'll have plenty of people to tell your story to. So I just hope that we're able to get more people to participate and not have us all be isolated and living in fear of what might happen.
Well, indeed. When I went to the Next Hope, I didn't have any problems at the border, so... It wasn't a horrible experience. So, indeed, I do hope that a lot of Europeans and people in other countries and other regions of the world will come to Hope.
Thanks. Thanks again for calling, Marcel, and thanks for the correction about your country. I've used both terms Holland and the Netherlands, and spoken with a lot of Dutch people, and not one of them has ever corrected me. So for your sake and for their sake and everyone's sake, we visited the Netherlands.
Well, you know, I call it Holland all the time, and so far the only people that corrected me are snarky Americans who think they know everything. But I think, you know, we know. I've got an issue calling us Americans. You know, how about calling us citizens of the United States? Because, you know, Canada is part of America, too. Mexico is part of America. Argentina is part of South America. I don't know why we get to call ourselves Americans. You know, it's like you calling yourselves Europeans, and no one else can do it.
Yeah.
You know? just things to ponder. All right, well, Marcel, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a nice night.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
Bobson from Bulgaria. Another European calling us on the telephone. And it was good to see you at home as well.
Yeah, I was going to tell you how we met in the North Holland, which is a region of Netherlands.
Oh, be careful.
Beat me to it.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad you know this.
Well, I think I was the one who brought it up to him on IRC, but oh well. We had our competition who was going to phone it in first, and he won, which is.
So, did you have fun at home?
Fun? Yes. There was some issues I had, but it may just be me getting 8 years older since I was at what the heck or what have you.
I'm sorry, could you just speak up a little bit? You had issues what?
Pardon?
I didn't hear what you said. You had some kind of issue?
Well, there were some issues I had, but I'm not saying it's something beyond my imagination, and apparently there was nothing that I know of that was...
Okay, well, it sounds like you had fun then, in one way or another.
Fun was had.
Yeah. Okay, well, good.
I can't speak of all. I can speak of myself, and yes, fun was had.
Okay, all right. Well, that seems fair. Are you looking forward to the next war?
I can't say I'm very proud of your being so enthusiastic about yet another war your government is getting yourself into.
Well, you know, Bobson, when's the last time Bulgaria bombed another country? You know, there's a certain feeling of pride. A certain feeling of pride and patriotism that comes with that.
No. There's nothing to be proud of. I mean, come on. Another thing.
It's like trying drugs. You got to try it to understand it, you know? And that's pretty much what going to war is.
The very first army who used an airplane from which a bomb was dropped during times of war was the Bulgarian army, the Air Force.
Really?
In the early 20th century. I'm not sure of the date, but...
Wow, I didn't know that.
Sorry about all that. We didn't mean it like that.
Who did you guys drop the bomb on?
You said, which I wanted to correct you about, you mentioned someone earlier when you were speaking to Marcel.
Yes.
And you mentioned Chelsea Manning, and you called her Bradley.
Okay, yeah, I knew news was going to come up. Yes, we all are aware that Bradley Manning now wishes to be referred to as Chelsea Manning. And, of course, everybody should respect those wishes. But I do not want to basically be correcting people left and right who say he at the wrong moment and she at the wrong... Basically, if you respect the wishes, that's enough.
Everyone listening to you knows who you're speaking of.
Exactly, yes, they should.
Anyhow, I felt I tried to catch up about not getting there first about the Holland thing, so I...
I'm glad we're talking about controversial subjects tonight.
Speaking of controversial subjects, may I read a list which is going to make the people gathering data in Utah... Well, may bother them or something.
The NSA. Well, are we on the list?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah. Go, as long as it's a clean list and it doesn't take very long, because
it's a short list and it's not contain any of the seven Carson words
or variations thereof. And if anyone else wishes to call in, this is your last chance. 631-632-6901. Go ahead, Bobson.
Axis of Evil, KH-11, CISU. Serbian SAFE, EMC, MD5 lock-picking Croatian data haven bomb, IDEA, class struggle kernel dateline.
Kyle, could you reset that flashing red light that just started in the other corner of the room? I've never seen that go off before.
What? You're flashing red light.
Yeah, you know what, Bobson? We got to go. We got an issue here. And apparently there's people storming into the station now. All right. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, my God. I hung up on him right when I said that. Well, hey, Finn's here. Let him in. Hey, Finn, come in here. We haven't seen you in over a month.
And is there a technical problem?
No technical problem yet. We turned the flashing red light off, and the storming army has run away. So how has the station been for the last month? The
station's been wonderful. Your show has been great, of course, and we have been, programming it through.
You're the person that brings the CD in and presses the button.
That's right. Well, I didn't want to put it that way. I wanted to make it sound more dramatic, but yeah, that's the case.
Well, thanks for making that possible. And if you did enjoy the program over the past 4 weeks, it's because of Finn that you did.
So remember, during Radiothon, contribute to my show.
Yes, yes.
Just for covering this.
All right, we're going to leave delay now, and here we are. I think we might have had some channel issues, too. I don't know what's going on with the controls, but... We'll try and fix things. Good to be back, right? But great memories. Such good times that we had. And in so many people ask what our favorite place was, and it's impossible to answer that, right?
Oh, my gosh. Every place. Train stations and squares, public places, markets, just all different places, beaches and forests and all kinds of, just all of it. Every place we went, everyone was so nice to us, and we seemed to feel like immediately local and like accepted. Yes. And find the right way to do things. And even, you know, even the foreigners and tourists who get in our way and trip us up on the sidewalks.
Well,
we didn't mind them either.
People walk differently for some reason, and we have trouble with that. But, you know, the last place we were in was Ireland, and we sort of feel an affinity there because, well, there we have relations in various parts of the country. Definitely friends, but relatives from long ago, and we're trying to reconnect with many of them.
Yeah, I really liked Ireland.
And that's something that I guess it's the most forefront memory for me, because that's as of 2 days ago, we were there. And going to the pubs and hanging out with people and sharing stories and things like that. So let's go out with something as Irish as we can possibly imagine.
Oh, right? Such a good sense of humor. Good people. Good food.
Absolutely.
Good Guinness.
Very good, yes. OTW@2600.com is our email address. We'll be back next week. Have a good night.
In the merry month of June, from me home I started, left the girls at tune, nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, my grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut the stout black thorn to banish ghosts and goblins, a brand new pair of brogues, rattling o'er the bugs, frightening all the dogs, on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack full of the In Mullingar that night I rested limbs so weary, started by daylight, me spirits blithe and airy, took a drop of the pure, keep me heart from sinking, that's the Paddy's cure, whenever he's on for drinking, I see the lassie smile, laughing all the while, at me curious style, twould set your heart a bubble and asked if I was hired, wages I required till I was nearly tired of the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack for lullyrah. Ah.
In Dublin next arrived, I thought it such a pity to be so soon deprived of view of that fine city. Well, then I took a stroll, all among the quality bundle it was stolen in a neat locality. Something crossed my mind when I looked behind, no bundle could I find upon my stick. A wobbling inquired, and Father Rogue said me Connaught Brogue wasn't much in vogue on the rocky road to Dublin.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hut the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack the lully ra. From there I got away, my spirits never fail, and landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing. The captain at me roared, said that no room had he, when I jumped aboard a cabin found for Paddy. Down among the pigs, played some funny rigs, danced some hearty jigs, the water round me bubbling. When a folly head, wished myself was dead or better far instead, on the rocky road to Dublin.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack the lully ra. The boys of Liverpool, when we safely landed, called myself a fool. I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was losing, poor old Ayrton's Isle. They began abusing her, ah, me souls as I shall lay, I let fly. Galway boys were nigh, and saw I was a hobbling with a loud hooray. Joining in the affray, we quickly cleared the way for the rocky road to Dublin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, put the hare and turn her down the rocky road, all the way to Dublin, whack for lully ra.
Whack for lully ra,
whack for lully ra.